Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, it's Friday. I'm in a good mood. I'm fired up for the weekend. I'm fired up for Wide Receivers Part 2. Going to watch a lot of preseason football. We had three games last night. We're going to talk about that, mostly the wide receiver takeaways. Heath posted a Twitter poll. Who's going to score more fantasy points, Allen Robinson or Devontae Parker? And it's neck and neck right now. Good morning, guys. How are we doing? Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
I am better than Blake Bortles at everything, including throwing footballs.
Wow.
Come on now. There's no way. There's no way you're
No,
better.
I think you're probably right about that. I'm probably not.
Dave, Jamie, good morning. How you guys doing?
I wish we had the capacity to send Heath to Jacksonville and compete for the job with Blake Bortles.
That would be fun.
What if he isn't so bad and so far off from Blake Bortles?
He is.
I mean, I've never seen him throw a football in my life.
I'm going to guess he is. Just a hunch.
Okay. Give me your quick probably. Wide receiver reaction. Devontae Parker or Allen Robinson?
I'm going to stick with Robinson, but that was scary. And he's fed up, and I'm afraid he's going to pull a Vincent Jackson where it's just like every time the ball is thrown. Because then he had a bad drop, too. And it's like he starts thinking the ball's never actually coming his direction, and so he's running half-assed routes, and I'm worried.
I don't know if he's going to run half-assed routes. He looked pretty good running routes in the preseason game.
Well, yeah, but it's going to wear on him.
I don't know if he's going to have Blake Bortles to catch passes from much longer.
Yeah, could be Henny. Could definitely be Henny. And if that happens, listen to this stat. The last time Chad Henny was a starter, he played 15 games in 2013. 15 games. He threw for 3,241 yards. That's pathetic. Cecil Shorts led the team with 777 receiving yards. Mercedes Lewis led the team with 4 touchdown catches. Granted, they have better players this time around, but it wouldn't be good, and we will get to that. Hey, who's got a better chance to be a top 10 wide receiver this year? Tyreek Hill or Martavis Bryant? And this is the group of wide receivers we're going to focus on today. Everything from, I'd say, Crabtree and down. Who's got a better chance to be top 10 this year? Tyreek Hill or Martavis Bryant?
I'll take Martavis.
I'll take Hill.
That's a really good question, Adam.
They're very similar.
It's one of the best questions you've ever asked on this podcast.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I lean toward the better quarterback.
That helps. I mean, Hill's obviously got the opportunity to have 120 targets much easier than Bryant.
Help me with my memory. Did Martavis ever finish in the top 15?
Well, no, because he didn't play enough games.
Well, obviously not last year.
But on pace, yes. I can give you the on pace numbers.
And do we know, again, help me with my memory, has there ever been a time where Roethlisberger has had two wide receivers finish in the top 12?
I don't know. But all right, let me tell you what Martavis Bryant would have been on pace for in 2015. He would have been the number 12 wide receiver in standard, number 15 in PPR. In 2014, he would have been number 13 in standard, all the way down to number 24 in PPR. But that was as a rookie. Caught 26 passes in 10 games, scored a lot of touchdowns. Here, I am having trouble finding a reason not to like Martavis Bryant, but I do think you have to step back and say, look, he missed a full year. He's still not even clear to play in regular season games yet. I mean, we expect
that
to happen.
Yeah, but that's a technicality.
I don't know. Le'Veon Bell caught a ton of passes last year, and that actually affected Antonio Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown, two of his three highest receiving yards games came without Le'Veon Bell at the beginning of the season. But there are just so many things to like about Martavis Bryant. I'm wondering if it's too good to be true. You know, it almost feels like a trap because everybody likes him. Everybody's so high on him, and they're taking him, I don't know, end of the fourth round, beginning of the fifth round in a 12-team league, 50th overall or so.
See, I don't think he can be a trap there. If you start expecting, like, high-end number two wide receiver production, and he starts moving into the third round ahead of Alshon Jeffrey or ahead of Allen Robinson, then I think it's a trap. Right now, his value is fine.
Okay.
But he's a lot of fun.
He is.
Both of these guys are a lot of fun. And I think that's part of the reason why they're getting picked where they're getting picked is because they've got some major upside to them. I know it's crazy to think that Alex Smith could have a wide receiver finish in the top 10, but Tyreek Hill can at least do some things off carries and maybe Alex Smith isn't the quarterback in Kansas City for the whole season. Maybe we see Heath's Holmes, Mahomes.
That's a bad year in Kansas City, though.
It could be, but it could mean a lot of passing. And I think Tyreek Hill is not anything like Dante Hall or Devin Hester or any of these other special teams guys, third receiver.
Alex Smith is still Alex Smith, and we are still only two full seasons removed from him not throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver.
He didn't have a wide receiver like this. Not with this
no, he did not have a wide receiver like this, but he still was 18 touchdowns that season, which is kind of the neighborhood that he lives in. I mean, look, he's got us all this talk about him throwing the ball downfield more. And the first preseason game, yes, he threw a 32-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. There's a lot to like about Tyreek Hill, not in the fourth round. He is going too soon.
Is that what his ADP
based
is?
On his ADP.
I don't think I'm taking Tyreek Hill in the fourth
like
round.
The last pick of the fourth, right?
Yes.
What do you think about these guys in round five?
I would take Bryant in round five. I would not take Tyreek Hill before round six. I think there's more bust potential for Tyreek Hill than there is for Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, probably, just given the offense. And the thing about Bryant is his average draft position on CBS is much lower than what I said. It's 75th overall. His average draft position on Fantasy Pros is 63rd overall. So 50th overall is sort of where I've been noticing him going. Like around then, people start considering him in our drafts. But maybe in your drafts, you can get Martavis Bryant in round six, and that would be wonderful. Do you think there are any other mid-round picks who could break into the top two or three rounds next year? I think we could. I think it's realistic to expect that from. Well, it's to hope for that from Martavis Bryant. Do you see any other players going around that time that has that same type of upside? The answer could be no. That's perfectly acceptable.
I think the answer is no. Things would have to fall right for guys like Jamison Crowder, Jarvis Landry.
Oh, Crowder could easily be in that range.
Fitzgerald, top 10?
The same as those. Well, if you're asking me that, if you're saying that Hill and Bryant, yes, Jamison Crowder could. I mean, the guy scored 7 touchdowns last year.
That's I think he's one safer more, than those. I've got him ranked ahead of both
that's,
of them.
That's one more receiving touchdown than Tyreek Hill had. So if you're counting on Tyreek Hill to rush for nearly 300 yards and 3 touchdowns again, go ahead.
Yeah, give Jamison Crowder 120 targets based on his production last year. 120 targets, not much. He would have been the number 11 wide receiver in standard, number 14 in PPR. Let me throw out a name. What do you think? Kelvin Benjamin. Any chance?
Yes. I mean, anytime you have a guy that's going to score, has a chance to score 10-plus touchdowns, which right. He's already proven he could do once, there's an opportunity for him.
Does he have a chance at 120 targets?
Probably not, but he doesn't necessarily need that. I mean, Devontae Adams didn't have 120 targets, and he was a top 10 wide receiver.
He also had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback.
Sure, but he's also not the same.
And was on a team that was absolutely not run-centric whatsoever.
Totally agree. But there's still, whenever you're talking 10-plus touchdowns for a guy, would it be such a huge surprise if Kelvin Benjamin scored 12 touchdowns?
Yes. Yes, I would be.
Really?
I would
How many touchdowns?
Be shocked. 12.
Yeah, that seems a little high.
It's definitely high, but would it be that shocking to you?
Yes, it would shock the pants
I think
me,
it's
it would
more likely.
Oh, I hope he goes at 11.
I think it's more likely that Golden Tate is a top 10 wide receiver in PPR than Kelvin Benjamin is in either format.
Oh, Tate is very undervalued.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tate gets yards, not touchdowns.
PPR
Benjamin
monster.
Gets touchdowns, not yards.
Here's my next question. Are Jarvis Landry and Golden Tate the same person?
They were.
Before the Tannehill injury, you mean?
I think that's kind of unfair because Golden Tate is older and an inch shorter, and he's also had 3 seasons in a row where he averaged more than 13.4 yards per reception. He's had 2 seasons where he scored 6 or 7 touchdowns.
So so who do you like better, Golden Tate or Landry?
For sure.
Did you like Landry better before the Tannehill injury?
Yes. I believe I still had Tate. I had them in the same neighborhood, but Landry was right behind him.
All right.
Yes.
Who's your favorite part one? This is a 3-parter. Who's your favorite part one? Jamison Crowder, Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald.
I have Tate ranked the highest. Standard. And I think PPR too.
Tate, Crowder, Fitzgerald.
Tate is my favorite.
Okay. Golden Tate,
we feel great about Tate.
There it is. 3 straight years with 90 catches for Tate. Just doesn't score touchdowns. Better in PPR, but really solid number 2 wide receiver in PPR and very good chance he's a solid number 2 receiver in standard. Based on last year, he was 18th in standard and 16th in PPR. And that was with 14 combined fantasy points in his first five games, and then he got going. All right, part two, who's your favorite? Willie Snead, Dante Moncrief, Stephon Diggs?
Diggs.
I feel the need. The need for Jamie's nephew.
Willie Snead over Moncrief and Diggs and Jamie?
I mean.
Yeah. Okay, Willie
Snead. You know how much I don't like Diggs.
I do.
I have him ranked ahead of Dante Moncrief. That's how much I don't like Moncrief.
I can't trust Moncrief anymore with the shoulder injury, Luck's shoulder injury, and Ryan Kelly's injury. I mean, it's hard to like really any of the Colts right now.
Pagano was kind of hinting that Moncrief might be sitting out with an injury that he thinks he could play through.
Is there a chance the Colts could be worse than Jacksonville this year?
Is Andrew Luck
doesn't play, yeah.
If Andrew Luck doesn't play at all, they might be worse than the Jets.
Okay, next, last one. Your favorite, part three. Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson, or Devontae Parker? Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson, Devontae Parker.
I'm going Jackson still, but I'm tempted to move Parker ahead.
Aren't you? Because of the potential now, right? There are people listening, and there are people out there in the fantasy universe who believe that Brandon Marshall is just going to go right back up to being 1,000 yards and 9, 10 touchdowns. And I think he'll fall 20% short of those numbers. I think if you're looking for 807, I think he can get you that. And the question is, can Parker's upside is clearly higher than Marshall's, but his floor is also just, it's bad. It's 700 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I think Marshall's safer. I've got him ranked the highest.
Marshall highest?
I have Marshall the highest based on safety, but none of them are in my top 30.
None of them in my top 30.
Heath, what was your answer?
The highest, 32.
Jackson, DeSean Jackson. Jamie, Marshall Jackson, Devontae Parker.
I'll take Parker. I'll always buy into upside. I'm looking at the guy who has the highest ceiling, and right now that's Devontae Parker.
Okay. Awesome. Hey, here's another thing that's totally awesome. By the way, I know I haven't read emails this week. Once we get the position previews out of the way, believe me, I'll be reading more emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That is also the email address that you should be sending your notes to, your emails to, if you want in the podcast league.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Now, I keep forgetting the date. Monday, August 28th?
Yes, sir.
Monday, August 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Is that okay with you guys?
No, it'll be later.
9 p.m. Eastern?
Sure.
That sounds better.
Okay, Monday, August 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you cannot make that time, please do not apply to be in the podcast league. We will do a 14-team PPR league, 2 receivers, 2 running backs, tight end, flex, only 1 quarterback. It will be a fab league.
Right?
There will be a kicker. If Heath and I want to start a rejects league, we'll talk about that. Maybe we will. Maybe I'll do it without Heath. But I'd like to share a team with Heath because that was fun. Monday, August 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Email fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and put podcast league in the subject line. Podcast league. And write a haiku. That was fun 2 years ago. Let's do it again. I enjoyed them. So here's how a haiku works. It's 5 syllables, then the next line is 7 syllables, then the next line is 5 syllables. I took some time during the beginning of the show to write 3 haikus, one for Dave, one for Jamie, one for Heath. Here are some examples. Oh, Dave Richard. Wait, no, that's only 4. Oh, David Richard. You're eating all that pizza. May I please have some? Okay, that's Dave's. Jamie Eisenberg.
Amazing.
Jamie Eisenberg. You have a great family. Uncle Willie Snead. Yeah, that's Jamie's. And hey, Heath Cummings, you're better than Blake Bortles? Time to eat some crow. Okay, so those are some bad haikus. I did them on the spot. Give me a break.
Hey, that was Heath, great for on the
hey,
spot.
Hey, Heath Cummings. Was the
oh,
first
damn.
Line?
Hey, yo, Heath Cummings.
Yeah,
okay.
That, those were not haikus.
I did
if
it.
If you send anything like that, you will not be in the league.
I did it like while we're on the air. I'm writing haikus down. Okay, like
you were not writing haikus.
I was writing. Well, I was trying. You go. You try one. All right. So that's August 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Write us a haiku. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Let's go through the news and notes quickly here, so we can dominate wide receivers. Le'Veon Bell will report by week one, according to ESPN, but we don't know when. So. You guys are going to be moving him to number 2 at running back. He's already there for Heath and Jamie. Dave's going to move Bell to number 2. Is there a chance he's going to fall even farther? Would you start taking wide receivers over Le'Veon Bell?
I don't know if I can do that yet.
If we get to preseason week four, probably.
All right.
Well, he wouldn't play in preseason
Not
week
play
four anyway.
With the team. Not play.
Okay. Rams defensive lineman Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive players in football, if not the best. His holdout may last into the regular season, according to ESPN. Thanks for drafting me, the Rams DST, when I left that draft earlier last week.
Don't leave early.
Seattle running back Thomas Rawls is not going to play due to a minor ankle injury, so Eddie Lacy will have a chance to impress people this weekend. This is Indianapolis center Ryan Kelly. He's likely going to be placed on IR, designated to return after foot surgery. That would mean Kelly is going to miss at least 8 weeks, the center for the Colts, and could be the whole season. So that's bad. Jets running back Matt Forte, he won't play this week due to a hamstring injury. Preseason takeaways from yesterday. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because we will cover it on Monday's show. That will be our preseason recap show, preseason week two. But obviously, Jacksonville's a mess. I gave you that stat about how bad Chad Henne was when he started in 2013 and threw for 3,241 yards in 15 games. Baltimore's quarterback situation is interesting because one of the most interesting stats that I had from yesterday doing my wide receiver research was this. Can Jeremy Maclin be a number one receiver, or could Mike Wallace, if that's your preference? Well, based on Steve Smith, no, it can't be a number one. Probably not. But number two, I think it's very realistic. Steve Smith in 2014 with Baltimore was the number 18 wide receiver in standard, number 17 in PPR. And then in 2015, he was actually on pace to be a top 10 wide receiver, but Smith only played 7 games. So I like Maclin. I mean, that made me very encouraged. However, we're not going to see Flacco in the preseason. He's nope. Still out. Josh Woodrum, having a very good preseason, might
Josh Woodrum
be their backup.
Well, Ryan
it
Mallett
shouldn't
looked,
be Ryan Mallett.
Looked awful. I was at the game last night. Looked awful.
Yeah.
Oh.
I already finished my haiku.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hey, Adam Azer, would you like to see my nips? I will hold your cat.
Okay, that's weird. Why would you hold my cat? Well, that's I don't like it. Thank you though. Tyrod Taylor, he's been terrible. I'm assuming after the Watkins trade, we have no interest in Taylor being our starter, right?
Correctamundo.
Right.
Jameis Winston, he's been on fire. Now, the Jags are playing without their top two corners, two good players, A.J. Boye.
Three corners. Top three corners are out.
All right, so Winston's having a big preseason, 30 for 42 with 295 yards in 2 games. Evans has been hot.
Yeah, I thought his offensive line looked great blocking for him.
Yeah.
And all Winston's bad throws are on him, not the line.
Yeah, the decision in the red zone where he tried to throw an interception, but they called him down.
That was so good.
That was bad.
Actually,
that's
Dirk Cutter said he played great except for that play. Elite quarterbacks don't make that play. He's hard on him.
He's tired of him throwing the ball to the other team.
Yeah, he's got to cut down on the mistakes, but Winston's off to a good start. So, again, we'll get to all this next week. Jay Cutler said Devontae Parker is, quote, a faster Alshon. Miami backup quarterback David Fales has a terrible last name. Zay Jones had 3 catches for 42 yards on 6 targets. We'll probably get to him today. LeGarrette Blount had a terrible game, but he did catch 2 passes. You want an IDP sleeper? I don't know if he's really a sleeper, but first-round pick Derek Barnett of the Eagles. 3 sacks so far in the preseason. Yep. And Leonard Fournette was out. Marquise Lee was out. And TJ Yeldon left with a hamstring injury.
Adam.
Yes, sir.
More surprising. Calvin Benjamin catches 12 touchdowns, or LeGarrette Blount doesn't play a single snap for the Eagles this year and gets cut before the start of the season?
Benjamin, 12 touchdowns. What do you think?
I don't think he fits.
Blount, you mean?
Yeah. Calvin fits now because, you know, he lost weight. He fits into his jeans, whatever.
That'd be a huge surprise if they cut LeGarrette Blount.
I don't think he's a good fit at all.
Interesting. He's going pretty late.
Really not a good fit at his average draft position.
What's his ADP?
The 25th running back off the board.
Oh, he's not going that late. See,
do you
I'm
know
having...
anybody who's behind him? Like off the top of your head?
There are many.
No, I know, but like, do you know off the top of your head who's behind him?
Adrian Peterson, Paul Perkins, Bilal Powell,
Abdullah.
Amir Abdullah, Doug Martin, all behind LeGarrette Blount.
I may have said that the wrong way.
I missed it. Thank goodness. Let's do some wide receiver ADP. We talked about some of our favorites in this range, but yesterday we discussed DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen going in like rounds 3 and 4, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, Julian Edelman, and Keenan Allen. We said it's way too early for Edelman. I want to pick up our wide receiver talk with the Patriots here, and I want to talk about what happened in 2014. In 2014, Rob Gronkowski played 15 games. He was the number one tight end in fantasy, 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns. Big year. Julian Edelman, he was the number 26 wide receiver in standard, number 18 in PPR, 972 yards on 92 catches, 4 touchdowns. And Brandon LaFell was the number 21 wide receiver in both standard and PPR. So basically we had Gronkowski as the elite tight end, and then two number two receivers, Edelman and LaFell. They did not rank higher than 18th in either format. Tom Brady, though, he was the number 6 quarterback and only threw for 4,100 yards, 33 touchdowns. Good year, but certainly we're expecting more. So I know we covered it at the end of yesterday's show, but let's pick it up from there. Brandon Cooks versus Julian Edelman. Brandon Cooks and Julian Edelman going in round 4. What are your thoughts?
One thing I want to say real quick about that 2014 season that was weird. The last 2 years, the Patriots have thrown the ball to their running backs 323 times. That year, they gave them 93 pass attempts. So you'd have for that type of success from two wide receivers and a tight end, you'd have to see a real drop in the number of pass attempts to running backs. The other thing I would say is, if Brandon Cooks finishes as a low-end number 2 and Julian Edelman as a high-end number 3, then they're both disappointments where they're being drafted.
Yeah, but I guess my point was I'm expecting at least 700 more yards from Tom Brady and hopefully more than 33 touchdowns. And I don't think any of us expect Gronkowski to play 15 games. And when that happens, and that's something we probably should bake in, because Julian Edelman, for example, we talked about this a lot, 7.6 targets per game with Gronkowski, 11.6 targets per game, 4 more per game without Rob Gronkowski, and he was on pace for 113 catches without Gronk. So like, if he gets injured, those guys are obviously going to look a lot better than how you feel about them now, right?
Sure.
But I'm not using a third-round pick on a wide receiver hoping somebody else gets injured so he's good.
Fourth round. Are either of these guys okay in the fourth round in a 12-team league, like around 40th overall?
I'm fine with it for Cooks. I'm totally fine with it.
I'm actually, based on our conversation yesterday, Dave said something that made me think, and then somebody else tweeted me something about Brandon Cooks that also made me think. So what you said yesterday about Cooks with the receivers in this range, I don't think week to week, I'll say what I said yesterday about between him and Baldwin. I don't think the week to week consistency is going to be very good for Brandon Cooks, but the end of the year numbers will probably look better. So I moved him up inside my top 20.
And the other thing is, look at all the other receivers,
right,
that
the guys
are in
around
this neighborhood.
You're
100%
they're
all inconsistent.
100% right about that.
And guess who was very inconsistent last year? I'm sorry. He was very consistent, but in the wrong way, was Julian Edelman. He only had 3 games with double digits in fantasy points. They all came in the second half.
It all came when Gronk got hurt.
Yeah, it all came.
Right. At the beginning of the year, he was all
of,
catches.
In terms of Cooks, we talk about his numbers away from New Orleans. Is that just a byproduct of Breeze?
Maybe.
Like, is that part of, like, Breeze's numbers are not horrific.
Right.
Outdoors, but they're lower.
Mm-hmm. Right, but not, the difference is not near as great as what Cook's difference is.
But is it because the quarterback is not as good? In that scenario. It's just something to think about.
Right. So I have long thought that the indoor-outdoor thing is overblown. But
it's totally overblown.
But yes. But some players, like Brandon Cooks said this year, that he had to learn to play under the sun again. Like he forgot to take that into consideration when he was playing in New Orleans. There's a quote about it. But I think surface means a lot more. And that turf versus grass, I think it's a real deal thing. And obviously, when you look at Brandon Cooks' numbers, when you compare his numbers on turf versus indoor-outdoor, or indoor rather, they're pretty close because a lot of them are the same game. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that New England plays their home games on turf. They've got 11 games on turf over the course of the season. And Brandon Cooks, for whatever this is worth, in college, played his games outdoors on turf.
Most of the guys, moments, I mean, that have struggled going from, like, T.Y. Hilton played his games outdoors in college. And then he had that hard time when he first got in the NFL when he would play outdoors. Mm-hmm. Struggling. I think it's just the quote from Cooks, had to learn to play under the sun. because it's a difference for these guys. So, yeah.
All right. So Jamie's
in the fourth round is fine.
Jamie's got Cooks 18th in PPR, 16th in standard. Dave has Cooks 16th in PPR, 14th in standard. Heath has Cooks 27th in both formats. So there is a big difference here. Heath, you can sit this quick little game out because I know your answer is always going to be the other guy. But Dave and Jamie, Cooks or Demaryius Thomas?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Cooks or Alshon Jeffrey?
Cooks.
Actually, I have Cooks ahead of Thomas and Jeffrey now that I'm looking at my rankings. So I'm going to change my first answer and say Cooks.
Okay. I think you have Demaryius ahead of Cooks in PPR, though. In fact, you do. You do. Cooks ahead of standard. Yeah.
I do.
All right. So we like Cooks in the fourth round. Heath, no.
The end of the fourth's fine.
We don't like Edelman here. Keenan Allen or Brandon Cooks, guys?
Allen.
Cooks for me.
All right. Now we're getting to Terrell Pryor and Demaryius Thomas, who we talked about yesterday, is going way too late in CBS Sports Leagues. And these are good. I mean, when are you comfortable taking Terrell Pryor?
Third round.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's just weird. I mean, Terrell Pryor, Demaryius Thomas, Davante Adams. These are three players who are going to be going earlier than, should be going earlier than the ADP that we're seeing on CBS Sports, which is like fourth, early to late fourth round for those three. Terrell Pryor, Demaryius Thomas, and Davante Adams. So other players that you could be looking at in this round 4 to 5 range in 12-team leagues, Jarvis Landry, Kelvin Benjamin, he's on the rise. Well, he's actually down two spots now, but Kelvin Benjamin at 51st overall is much higher than I thought. Michael Crabtree, and again, Alshon Jeffrey, I think you're probably going to be looking at closer to like end of the third round. Is that is Alshon Jeffrey in the Demaryius Thomas, Terrell Pryor range?
Not for me.
No, he's in the Davante Adams, Michael Crabtree range for me.
Davante Adams is in that range? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Devontae Parker. My bad. Okay, so we want to take Alshon Jeffrey more in round 4.
Oh yeah, if you can get him.
At the end of round 3, I'm okay with it.
I would prefer round 4 or later.
Round 4 would be better.
You're taking him in late round 3 if you've got two non-receivers already on your team.
I was reading a recap of Eagles training camp, and they used the quote you said, you can't, what was it? Can't make the club in the tub. And they were just assigning categories to players, and Jeffrey was the player that they used with that. Not that he's not making the team. But,
yeah, right. So that ship sailed. He's making the team.
He's good, though, and he's healthy. He's so good. And they desperately need him. Their targets leader from last year, Jordan Matthews, was traded to the Bills. Their leading receiver last year was Zach Ertz. I think their third leading receiver was Darren Sproles. So he's jumping into a great situation. And if Alshon's healthy, is there any doubt that if Alshon's healthy, he's going to perform well? It's just the health that's concerning you?
That's all that concerns me.
Yeah, but I mean, his health has been an issue the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dealing with a shoulder injury that he's, you know, should be fine from. But we'll see.
Okay. All right. Come back to that in just a second. Today's a fun Friday because it's an Indochino Friday. I love Indochino Fridays. I get to tell you how to get a great suit and why you need a great suit, and we get to save you hundreds of dollars on this great suit. Go to Indochino.com, IndoChino.com, and use our promo code FFT at checkout to get 50% off. Hundreds of dollars you're saving, plus free shipping. What you're going to do on Indochino.com is design a custom suit. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics, personalize your suit just the way you want it, choose your customizations, lapels, pleats, jacket linings, much, much more. Submit your measurements, place your order, wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. And now that I have and I often wear my Indochino suit, I know why Indochino is the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. They also have showrooms you can check out if you prefer, but here's our offer again. Any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when you enter FFT at checkout. 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Free shipping. Indochino.com. Promo code is FFT for any premium suit for $379 with free shipping. All right, back to the mid-rounds here. So after DeAndre Hopkins and Demaryius Thomas, we start talking about Terrell Pryor, Davante Adams. We're going to get to Michael Crabtree. Alshon Jeffrey's in this range. Anybody in this group that you're sort of avoiding? Obviously, Julian Edelman based on current ADP, but Alshon, it seems like you want to wait a little bit more. But you like Adams, you like Pryor ahead of Alshon, but do you find yourself drafting those guys? Or do you think late round three, mid round four is okay? You tell me.
I'm fine with all of their ADPs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, fair enough. So how about Crabtree? Crabtree's interesting. It seems to me, my read on Crabtree is after the guys who have been studs in the past, like Demaryius, like Hopkins, or guys that we think, or Davante Adams was a stud last year, or guys that we think could be a stud this year, like Terrell Pryor, Brandon Cooks has been a stud, Michael Crabtree comes into play as sort of a safe option.
Best word you could use for him.
Obviously, it's my job to just poke holes in that. I don't necessarily believe this, but I guess my fear for Crabtree is if we hope and partially expect Amari Cooper to make the year three jump and break out, could that really hurt Michael Crabtree?
I don't think it can knock him out of the ranks of the number two right wide receivers. Like, those two guys are getting 280 targets between the two of them, 270 targets between the two of them, and Cooper's already getting 130 of those. If Cooper makes a leap, it's in the red zone, and maybe Crabtree's touchdowns go down a little bit, but I don't think he falls out of the top 24 for sure.
I'll say the same thing that I said yesterday about Cooper. Just flip it. Give the targets between the 20s and in the 20s to Cooper that Crabtree gets, and the numbers that Cooper gets to Crabtree, targets to Crabtree, and you'll still end up with top 20 wide receivers with Cooper hopefully taking those numbers, that potential, those targets, and doing a little bit more with them.
By my math, if you give Crabtree three less touchdowns last year, he's wide receiver 22. So that's basically where he's being drafted.
Do you see any evidence of this happening? Have you read about anything that suggests that this could happen, that Amari Cooper could get those extra looks in the red zone and could be a bigger factor there?
Well,
that's what worries me.
Jack Del Rio, you know, he went over his game plan for the season, and, you know, he kind of said, here's what we're going to do. Game one, we're going to do this. Game two, we're going to do this. I mean, the hope is that the better player, the more talented player, the player with the higher pedigree, not by much, but comes out and performs in that magical third season, does the things that he's hopefully capable of doing.
I don't like that Cooper is banged up. Is he going to play in their preseason game? Do we know? No one knows.
He's been back at practice, so I don't know.
Hopefully that means at least one of the next two preseason games we'll see Cooper play. That would certainly help things. I like that Cooper's ceiling is sky high. I don't think Crabtree's ceiling is any better than under 1,000 yards and 7-8 touchdowns. That's a ceiling.
Well, I mean, he had 1,000 last year.
I don't know.
I think given everything else that Oakland's done this year, the chances of him getting four figures in yardage goes down.
All right. So, are you going to take Crabtree or Brandon Cook? Did I ask Cooks?
I would take Cooks.
I would take Crabtree.
See, this is where I changed my opinion. I think there's more upside with Cooks here, but Crabtree is definitely safer.
Would you take Crabtree or Keenan Allen? Also, very interesting player going in this range. Keenan Allen coming off the injury. When he's healthy, he's good, but he also has a lot more competition for targets this year than I think he ever has. You don't agree, Heath?
I don't know that I necessarily agree. I mean, yes, Tyrell Williams is there and Hunter Henry is there. Danny Woodhead is gone.
Forgot about Gates.
Well, Gates has always been there.
Forgot about Mike Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams, I don't think
and your boy
miss the
Brandon
whole
Oliver.
Season.
I don't know that Mike Williams is a thing that's actually going to make an impact on anyone this year.
Can I make another cogent point on Michael Crabtree?
Just tell me who you'd rather have first.
I'd rather have Allen, who Keenan apparently Allen is looking sensational.
Yeah, he's again, doing what he's capable of doing.
I asked a friend who I trust who follows the Saints, and the Saints and the Chargers have been doing a joint practice, and he says Keenan Allen looks phenomenal. Doesn't look like he suffered a knee injury at all last year.
All right, so hold on. I'll get back to your Crabtree point, but let's stay on Keenan Allen. Would you rather have Keenan Allen or DeAndre Hopkins, Demaryius Thomas?
Allen's third for me in that group, but he's back to back with Thomas, and I could see myself making that change. I like Allen's quarterback better, that's for sure.
Okay.
Guys. Allen's third for me in standard. In PPR,
I think he's third for me in both.
I've got him first.
Jamie, Keenan Allen, Demaryius Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins.
Back to back to back. Hopkins, Thomas, Allen.
Oh, wow. Okay. And where is Allen Robinson in all this? Behind them all, right?
Yep.
Well behind.
He's behind them, all three of those guys, and Crabtree.
Okay. Dave,
I'm taking Crabtree and the safety net of 907 over Allen Robinson.
Give me your Crabtree thoughts.
He was top five in consistency last year. So kind of the anti-Brandon Cooks, the anti-Doug Baldwin. You weren't getting mega games out of him. I think he had one game with more than 15 fantasy points and two games with more than 13. But he was consistently around 10 fantasy points, which is really, really nice.
So I think what I want to do now is sort of sum up this group of wide receivers. I haven't done a good enough job illustrating their average draft position. We're going to go to Fantasy Pros, which has a whole bunch of websites, and look at their ADP. Wide receivers 15 through 23. This is a group of nine. We've talked about just about all of them. And this is the order they're being taken, starting with the 37th pick and going all the way to the 49th pick overall in average draft position. Terrell Pryor, Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson. We're going to say he's too high. Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins, we haven't gotten to, Devontae Adams, Jarvis Landry, Tyreek Hill, and Michael Crabtree. Big group here. Terrell Pryor, Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins, Devontae Adams, Jarvis Landry, Tyreek Hill, and Michael Crabtree. Did I say any names there that you're just like, no, I'm not investing a late third or fourth round pick on this guy?
Landry, for sure. For sure, Landry. As much as I like Hill, I'm the high guy here on Hill. I'm not taking him that early.
No, I'll go late fourth on Hill.
Really? Same. Wow, I won't even do that.
I won't take Hill until round six, so I will not be getting.
Oh, I thought you said. Oh, same thing I said.
No, same.
He just said he'd take him late round four.
Same on Landry and Hill. I would not take them in this spot.
So you all agree on Landry. Landry's too early in round four. He's in PPR. When are you taking Jarvis Landry?
Well, the average draft position gets pushed up a little bit for all these guys, so he's going to go.
That's when I would consider him then, right? Late round four is a fine time.
Yeah, he'll still be 90-plus catches.
Okay. Landry's still a number two wide receiver in PPR?
Very borderline. If he's my number two wide receiver, I better have two very good running backs.
Why such a downgrade? I mean, I don't know. I feel like when the first time we talked about this, we didn't think it was going to downgrade when Tannehill got hurt. We didn't think it was going to downgrade that much. In fact, if Matt Moore is the quarterback, he had very good numbers with Jarvis Landry, Matt Moore. Why such a downgrade for Landry?
Go ahead, Heath.
Landry's targets weren't great in the second half of last year when they really decided to focus on running the ball. So that was one strike against him, but I wasn't like totally off. But if you think that the Dolphins, which they should, really want to just run the ball with Ajayi, the targets are going down from the last 2 years. The other thing is this new development with Cutler. Jay Cutler doesn't want to dink and dunk like Ryan Tannehill did.
Right. Jay Cutler's not a wuss.
I wouldn't have said it that way.
Like, he might be a cigarette-smoking, gun-slinging, don't-give-a-hoot-nanny about a lot of things. But I think when it comes to throwing the football, he's got a lot more Favre in him than Alex Smith. Can we say that about Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore?
I don't know. Alex Smith is a guy that's throwing the ball down the field with a lot of
velocity.
He
did do it one time.
Ryan Tannehill is Alex Smith.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. So how about Sammy Watkins? Sammy Watkins going after Alshon Jeffrey, after Allen Robinson, after Keenan Allen. Robinson's ADP is going to fall. Sammy Watkins, it's probably still falling. I don't know, you know, because this data is from months now, and I don't know how long, but certainly his time as a Bill is included. He's the number 19 wide receiver off the board, going right ahead of Devontae Adams, first of all. But how do you feel about Watkins, 47th overall?
Don't like it.
Too soon.
I think that's fine. The end of the fourth round?
Right, because you're going to start deciding between, do you want to take Tyreek Hill? So, you know, Heath maybe would. Dave and Jamie obviously
would. I'd take
Watkins
over Hill.
Do you want to take Martavis Bryant? Like, we're kind of running out of big upside players, and does Sammy Watkins still have big upside?
Yes.
Not as big as it was.
Well, obviously not as big as it was.
I don't know that there's a huge difference And there is, in my ranking, 9 spots. There's a bigger difference, it sounds like, in ADP and in Dave and Jamie's rankings between Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins.
Right, I understand your point.
They're both huge upside wide receivers that are by far and away the best receiver on their own team with a very big question mark at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. Would you guys rather have Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson?
Robinson.
I still have Robinson ahead of him, but at their ADP, probably Watkins.
I'll give you one big difference between Hopkins and Watkins. And what you just said hit me, because I've got Hopkins rather higher than anybody here. Their divisions are entirely different. And you look at the competition that Hopkins will go against versus the competition that Watkins is going to go against.
That's true.
He's got the Seahawks twice. He's got the Cardinals twice. He's got the 49ers twice. That might end up being a good thing for him. But Hopkins doesn't have that same type of issue.
Well,
and I kind of like the Texans
got the
quarterbacks
two
better.
Two best young corners in the game, right?
They have good corners.
If they're on the field.
But the Colts and the Titans will not scare you away from Hopkins. His quarterback might.
And the loss of Fuller, I think, is very big for him.
In a good way.
Target way.
But Devontae Adams.
The loss of Osweiler is very good for him.
Devontae Adams is going too late. He's going 47th overall. He's a 20th wide receiver off the board.
Yep. That's disrespectful.
Okay.
Don't disrespect Devontae.
So then Michael Crabtree is the 23rd wide receiver off the board, 49th overall. I hadn't seen him go that late, but that's good value. I'd love to take Crabtree there.
Yep.
That brings us to wide receiver 24 and beyond. Julian Edelman, Kelvin Benjamin, Martavis Bryant, Golden Tate, and Emmanuel Sanders are the next 5 off the board. They're all about round 5 in a 12-team league, getting into early round 6. Julian Edelman, Kelvin Benjamin, Martavis Bryant, Golden Tate, and Emmanuel Sanders. One more time. Edelman, Kelvin, Martavis, Tate, Sanders, Emmanuel Sanders. Your thoughts on that group, round 5, early round 6?
It's disrespectful for Golden Tate, too.
Yeah, I would. If that was the real ADP in the drafts that we do, I would have Golden Tate on every single team that
I have. Me too. His numbers from week 6 on last year were so impressive when the Lions finally realized that he's their best receiver.
From week 6 on, you say?
Yes. Scored 4 of his touchdowns in those final 11 games.
74 catches, 943 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Pretty good.
He'll see 88 fantasy points.
He'll go higher than that in
10 games. So 8.8 per game in non-PPR. That is a point higher than his average.
I think it's 11 games.
I believe only one game over that stretch with less than 6 catches.
Well, something crazy happened to him. Do you remember this time last year he looked like a bucket of used shrimp?
I think it was what happens in every training camp and preseason is new guy comes along and gets featured a lot in practice and in preseason.
I feel like he was banged up.
Maybe. And there was also the narrative. Remember,
the average was much better than 8.8.
The year before, when Calvin was dealing with the ankle injury and Golden Tate had those moments where he was just electric in those games. And so then Calvin retires. And Jim Bob Cooter, who took over as the offensive coordinator, said, we're tearing up the playbook that he used in the second half of the season. And then they signed Marvin Jones, and they bring in Anquan Boldin. And I think it's, again, trying to get these new guys acclimated because Stafford didn't have a rapport with them. It matriculated into the beginning part of the season, and then all of a sudden you get, okay, Marvin Jones, great game against Packers. Congratulations.
Okay, So let me interrupt you and just go back to the other guys here. Good value or bad value? Julian Edelman, round 5, wide receiver 24.
Good in PPR.
Bad all the way around.
Bad, bad, bad.
Kelvin Benjamin, 62nd overall, wide receiver 25.
Cool.
Little too soon, but certainly has potential to destroy this.
A little too soon.
Martavis Bryant, wide receiver 26, right after Kelvin Benjamin, 63rd overall.
Immense value.
Love it.
Just right.
Love it. Beginning of round 6. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
I take him late round 5.
What I'm trying to do, because I've recognized through the first half of this podcast that basically every round value you've said, I have these guys ranked higher, so I'm just looking at where they are for receivers. I've got Martavis as the 25th receiver, but I've got him at 48 overall.
All right. Fair enough.
So...
And then Golden Tate is great value at 64th overall. And Emmanuel Sanders, 65th overall. One kind of interesting thing, guys, is that 2014 and 2015, Demaryius Thomas was one of the best, most targeted receivers in the red zone and inside the 10, and Emmanuel Sanders really wasn't. They get a new quarterback last year, and they had the same exact numbers in the red zone and inside the 10, same amount of targets, and both had a lot. I don't know if that's going to be a trend, but that helps. I think Emmanuel Sanders had more touchdowns than Demaryius last year, one more maybe. So I don't know. I never draft Sanders. Wide receiver 28, it starts to get a little bit interesting. We're talking 65th overall. Your thoughts on Sanders there?
I like him a little bit lower than that, but I certainly see the potential. Again, it's total stats versus week-to-week stats, and his total stats were good. His week-to-week stats were terrible. I mean, you know, he said as much going into the post-Peyton era that his numbers were not going to be as good, and that kind of played itself out.
Yeah, I've got him 31st amongst wide receivers, but exactly 65th overall. So,
okay, Sanders is going 28th amongst wide receivers and 65th overall. That's Emmanuel Sanders. I did tell you guys about the commissioner product. I just want to tell you again, it's free to sign up if you go to cbssports.com/fantasy. The best place to play. Very easy to use, and you get great analysis from Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Great columns, start and sit, cheat sheet, trade chart, just great stuff. You're going to feel like a GM with player contracts and trading draft picks if you want to do a Dynasty League. We're really making our product a lot better for Dynasty owners, so just check it out. Free to sign up, CBS Sports Commissioner Leagues. I love playing on CBS. I know I'm biased, but if you haven't tried it, you will love it, and I've gotten a lot of feedback on Twitter. You're right, it's great, I love it, so please, our commissioner product is just, it's the best. Okay, let's go to late round six now. Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, 29, 30, and 31. Brandon Marshall, Larry Fitzgerald, and Stephon Diggs. Fitzgerald and Diggs are clearly going to have more value in PPR. Marshall will probably have more value in standard, but it's Marshall, Fitzgerald, and Diggs, 29, 30, and 31 at wide receiver, 69 through 72nd overall in ADP.
Even in a standard league, I love this value for Diggs and Fitzgerald, and I hate it for Marshall. That's how I feel.
I've got him ranked Fitzgerald, Marshall, and Diggs. Still have Marshall ahead of Stephon.
And what's your, I mean, we know, but I think you should reiterate your disdain for Diggs.
Well, disdain is such a strong word. I just really can't stand his stinking lack of consistency. Very boomer bustish. I believe it's seven or eight games over the last two seasons with double digits fantasy points and 15 with five or fewer. I think he's a great player in an offense that won't properly cater to him. And I feel like he disappears to me because of injury or whatever.
Bradford.
Well, Bradford's a big part of it.
Yeah, he's never thrown more than 21 touchdown passes in a season. I think that's
And he just had a career year, Sam Bradford did.
Right, he threw 20 in 15 games.
He's a very volume-based receiver without a lot of touchdown potential. I think he's a poor man's Golden Tate.
I've heard Heath make this comparison before. Is there really much difference between what Diggs was on pace for last year and what Jarvis Landry can give you?
Well, what Diggs was on pace for is what he ended up with.
Well, no, because he missed three games.
Yeah,
so
he
if he projected
games.
Over 16 games is what he would have finished with.
Well, that's why I always think that Landry's a little overrated. But I also think that Landry, for some stinking reason, like, it doesn't make sense that he never gets any touchdowns, but now the quarterback change does change things. But Diggs, look, Diggs is a PPR guy. Dave, everything you're saying kind of applies to standard. And it applies to PPR too, but in PPR he does seem to have a higher floor. He caught 84 passes in 13 games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he averaged 7.9 fantasy points per game in a non-PPR format and 14.4 right. in full-point PPR. So not quite twice as good, but almost.
I think
that's good. It tells me he's going to get six, seven catches.
I know, Heath, you're higher on Diggs than I am. I'm higher on him than Dave is. I think he's a more of a number three in standard, but right. he's on the cusp. I could see him finishing 20 to 30.
Right.
Like, that's the range for me. So I have him kind of right in the middle of that. PPR, though, it's hard to overlook him as a top 24 option.
There's no way you're – I'm sorry, Jamie. There's no way that Diggs is going to be the 31st wide receiver off the board in PPR.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be drafted that way. I'm saying the way I see him finishing.
Sure, yeah.
Between 20 and 30 in standard leagues. For PPR, though, like I was a little reluctant to buy in also because of the lack of touchdown potential. But you just have to look at what this offense is. It's not going to support guys going down the field. It's going to be the short area, which is why Kyle Rudolph wins, which is why Diggs wins. And then occasionally you'll have these games from Thielen where he'll get a big play because he breaks a tackle because he's in single coverage. So Diggs, I think, is, you know, it's not a guy I think you target in standard leagues, but where he's going, what his potential could be, if he does have that 3 or 4 touchdown leap, which would be a surprise, but if he does, he could be a top 15 guy.
And again, I think I said this on yesterday's podcast possibly, but his rookie year, he had 84 targets and scored 4 touchdowns. So that's the type of pace that would get. That's true. Yeah. I don't think it's unrealistic to think he gets 6 this year.
All right, Larry Fitzgerald's also going in this range. He won't in PPR. He'll go earlier in PPR. He's got 2 straight seasons with 100 catches. Fitzgerald was 17th in standard, 11th in PPR last year. He was top 10 in both formats in 2015. If you get him as the number 30 wide receiver. And look, John Brown's hurt. So, and
he's undervalued again.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Fitzgerald for fantasy because it's like, sell high. The last 2 years, he's been dreadful in the last 6 or 7 weeks. Dreadful. Even in PPR. But maybe he gives you something early in the season again. And you know, 70th overall, even for someone like me who hates Fitzgerald, can't really argue with that value. So now it gets even more fun. We got better wide receivers coming up, which is why I'm avoiding that group based on ADP. And I'm going right for wide receivers 32, 33, and a few more after that. I guess I oversold it a little bit, just got excited about the first two. But we're in the 80s in ADP. We're at 32 wide receivers. Willie Snead, Jamison Crowder, Dante Moncrief, DeSean Jackson, Eric Decker, Randall Cobb.
None of those guys are outscoring Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, I'll take the over on Snead and Crowder doing it.
Me too.
Especially in standard. Like, Fitzgerald could fall off a cliff. He's at the age where he could just have a terrible season.
Well, more so if Palmer gets hurt.
Oh, yeah, that'd be bad.
But Jamison Crowder wouldn't be very good if Cousins gets hurt.
Oh, don't discount Colt McCoy.
All these guys are at the mercy
of
the quarterback.
Who's more likely to get hurt, though? The 35-year-old quarterback?
Who's been hurt.
who's been hurt, or Kirky Cousins? But it does help Larry that all the other receivers in Arizona seem to be collapsing.
Yeah.
Is that too harsh of a word?
Yeah.
They seem to be not playing very well these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not going to look very good next to a Hall of Famer.
All right, so look, when I draft receivers, we're talking about my number 3, maybe my number 4 receiver at this point. Obviously, we're talking about overall number 3 receivers and then into 37, 38 where we start talking about number 4s. I think a lot of people are going to be drafting for upside. That's what I do at this point. I'm not taking Randall Cobb. Dante Moncrief seems to be a faller, as you guys laid out. I think there are guys that are being drafted later that I like a little better. Devontae Parker is probably going way too late. 116th overall is ridiculous. But let's just take a look at this big old group, 80 and beyond. Snead, Crowder, Moncrief, DeSean Jackson, Eric Decker, Randall Cobb, Pierre Garçon, Cameron Meredith, who had, I think, 5 of 6 games with 8 or more targets, double-digit fantasy points. Jeremy Maclin already laid out the case for him. Devontae Parker, and now we're 41 wide receivers in, and then it starts to get, oh, Tyrell Williams, 45th overall. My goodness.
I know.
There are some exciting wide receivers here. I know we like Snead and Crowder, but after Snead and Crowder, who are your favorites? Moncrief, DeSean, Decker, Cobb, Pierre Garçon, Cameron Meredith, Maclin, Devontae Parker, Corey Davis.
DeSean and standard, Garçon and PPR.
What's the list again?
Look, there's no way I'm taking Pierre Garçon over the list. The list is Moncrief, DeSean. I know it's a lot. Moncrief, DeSean Jackson, Eric Decker, Randall Cobb, Pierre Garçon, Cameron Meredith, Jeremy Maclin, Devontae Parker, and Corey Davis.
There's no way you're taking Garçon over who?
Over almost all of these guys. Like, I'm not. I get it in PPR, but you guys tried, not you, Heath. Dave and Jamie, I don't, maybe it was just one of you, tried to sell me on Torrey Smith when he came over to the 49ers, and I said, no, thank you. I don't want the number one wide receiver on the 49ers ever. They're the worst.
Jerry Rice was bad?
Yeah. I hate Jerry Rice, the most overrated player in football history. No, that's a joke. I'll take Cameron Meredith. I'll take Jeremy Maclin. I'll take Devontae Parker. All 3 of those guys over Pierre Garçon. Bring it!
I'll take Parker over Pierre Garçon, too.
So basically, you just said, I don't want the San Francisco number one wide receiver because his quarterback's too bad. Give me the guy with Mike Glennon and Ryan Mallett throwing it to him.
Oh, Cameron Meredith. But Cameron Meredith was really good last year.
He was very good last year, and he's kind
Pierre
of the
Garçon
guy which was at the top.
No, Pierre Garçon was pretty good last year. Surprisingly yeah. good, but he's...
Like, he outscored Cameron. He was better than Cameron Meredith.
He's a PPR. I might take Garçon and PPR over Meredith. But
he was horribly inconsistent, like one of the most inconsistent receivers last year. But I think he's got a chance to improve. He's now the number one guy, for whatever it's worth, in an offense that's going to play from behind. Again, difficult division. He's got it worse than Sammy Watkins will ever have.
You know, we every time with these number one receivers on San Francisco, we get excited for like two games, and they do nothing. I forget the scrubs that it's been over the last couple of years, but... You know, those slot guys, give me some names. Who was it? Jeremy Curley, thank you. It's always someone. Pick him up. No, they're all terrible. I'm tired of it. So I'll certainly take Parker. I guess we all agree on that. Well, do we all agree on that? No, Heath, you don't.
Parker over Garçon?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody agrees on that.
You've talked me into it. What do you think?
I will take Parker over Garçon in standard. I'll take Garçon over Parker.
Right. That's the difference. He's like Stephon Diggs.
I don't see much upside with Garçon, I guess. How do you guys feel about DeSean Jackson? I think he's very interesting.
I like him a lot. I think he's undervalued. I don't think anybody else does.
Jackson is going to be good at times and frustrating at others. And he's never been in an offense where he's been the number two guy.
How many weeks this year will he outscore Mike Evans?
Oh, there'll probably be three or four.
Right. But that's it. And those will probably be the times when he's good
for
your fantasy team.
But that could be where they both stink, though, which is not necessarily a good thing.
My thing is, like, he was...
Right. Well, yeah.
He's the same age as Brandon Marshall. He was a lot better than Brandon Marshall.
Right.
And they're both doing the same thing.
But the thing is, though...
Except that Marshall has Sterling Shepard, who's also better than him.
Potentially. But Marshall can win with his size. DeSean has to win with his speed. And if that... loses a half a step at any point, he's going to have a real, real quick downturn. The target share for him is going to be a little bit different
but
this year.
Marshall may have already had his real,
oh,
real.
Yeah, like, I'm not disagreeing with you on Marshall. Year. Marshall could easily have been, last year could have been the end of it for him. But they're both in similar situations, to your point, Heath. They're both going from being alpha dog to second option. They're both going to have to learn new quarterbacks. They're both a year older. They're both in different divisions. But I think the difference for me is, like, Jackson will probably have will have bigger weeks than Marshall, but Marshall will probably score more touchdowns than him. And I think that's where he's going to win if you're comparing the two.
I'm also a little concerned about DeSean staying healthy. If both these guys are going to sit on my bench and one of them is going to be a potential bye week receiver, even a number three option, I think Marshall fits that bill better.
There's a lot of potential in this group, though. A lot of good fantasy players. A lot of good wide receivers that could break out. We're 40 wide receivers in. Devontae Parker's 41. Corey Davis is 42. To end the show, about 3 minutes left or so, guys, I'm going to tell you a name, and you tell me if you want them as a late-round pick. One of them is just going to be super obvious. Well, that's the third one I'll say. But let's start with Corey Davis, actually. Corey Davis for Tennessee. Do you want him as a late-round pick?
Definitely.
Yes. Late-round, sure.
You want him as an eighth-round pick?
No,
that's not late.
No.
No, but I guess I've been reaching for Corey Davis. Maybe I shouldn't. Rishard Matthews.
No.
Don't mind speculating with a very late pick on Matthews.
Like 12th, 13th.
That's a good Azer strategy for you there, Adam.
I don't know, because Decker's
in there too. Decker, I think, is safer.
I think Matthews
wins if Davis's hamstring injury lingers into the season.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but I don't trust more than one wide receiver on that team. Like, if Decker's there, I don't really trust Rishard Matthews.
Well, and I've not yet seen evidence that Decker didn't lose a step himself.
That's why I like Corey Davis. That's why I think people might be sleeping on him. Because we're just assuming Decker's going to be who he is. And he might be. I mean, he might be a beast in the red zone. Anyway,
I had Davis ahead of Decker until this injury.
Yeah. Corey Coleman.
Yes.
No.
Tyrell Williams is not a late-round pick. He should not be the 45th wide receiver off the board.
He might be the best receiver in the National Football League.
He's not the 45th best, I'll tell you that. He's better than
that. I'll take Tyrell over Cameron Meredith.
Me too.
I've got Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham,
Tyrell Williams had a big
it's not
year.
That much, but I really like the talent and the opportunity.
I'll take Meredith just because of opportunity, but Tyrell Williams is a better player.
If Keenan Allen gets hurt, Tyrell Williams is going to be the steal of drafts.
We can't finish this wide receiver preview without mentioning Mike Wallace, can we?
Mike Wallace is coming up. Kenny Britt? Brown?
No.
Oh, I'd take Brown over Britt. Even if you're just stashing John Brown and hoping he gets healthy in 3 weeks or something like that, he might play in week one. That's the difference in philosophy for me. Like, there's no way I'm taking Kenny Britt, who's never had a big year, who's playing.
He just had a 1,000-yard season.
He's not that good.
Just had the rare seventh-year breakout.
John Brown was 22nd wide receiver in fantasy 2 years ago. He plays for the Cardinals, not the Browns. You don't need him to start week one. I'm never taking Kenny Britt over John Brown.
I understand.
Okay, good. Thank you. Adam Thielen, Jordan Matthews, Mike Wallace.
Yeah!
Marvin Jones.
Thank you.
Sterling Shepard, John Ross, Ted Ginn. Anyone exciting here?
Shepard.
Yeah.
Ginn could be.
I'll see what happens with John Ross. He was a top 10 pick in the draft. These guys.
He's only got four,
when are you gonna
he's
feel
only got
comfortable
four receivers
starting.
In front of him.
When am I going to feel comfortable starting John Ross?
I don't know. I want to see what happens. He could be the second best wide receiver on the team. Probably
I
is.
Would say you're going to feel comfortable after you've dropped him, and then he's had a big week on the waiver wire.
And then you'll chase that big week.
That's
and
totally
he's
possible.
Get two catches for 19.
That's yards. What happens with late round picks, but maybe you get surprised. Zay Jones. I think Zay Jones got a lot of targets yesterday, I think.
I'm excited about him.
I'm starting to get that feeling about Zay.
He may be the best rookie wide receiver this year.
Zay is also not his real first name. Did you know that?
What is it?
It's a nickname.
What's his name?
You have to take a guess.
Zayman.
Jose.
Isaiah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Isaiah makes more sense than Jose.
Isaiah
Not
Jones.
John.
why do you call him Zay John. If his name's John?
Let me give you five or six more receivers. Taylor Gabriel, Cole Beasley, Tyler Lockett, Kevin White, J.J. Nelson, Josh Doctson.
Yes, late round picks on all these guys.
Sure.
Who
Did
your
you
favorites?
Say Robbie Anderson's name?
No, I didn't.
He should go before all those guys.
Did you say Kenny Galladay's name?
No, I didn't.
Did you say
Cooper Kupp? No, I didn't.
Cooper Kupp's name?
No.
Did you say Jordan Matthews' name?
I did, yeah.
No, you shouldn't have.
We yawned.
No, don't do that.
I like Taylor. I've been taking Taylor Gabriel. J.J. Nelson's interesting. I guess Jerron Brown has to be in this discussion, too.
And he doesn't have to be.
And Robbie Anderson is now the 64th wide receiver off the board. Cooper Kupp, 65. Kenny Galladay, 66. So there you go. That's it for the week. We'll come back on Monday. I love the position previews, but I'm ready to start doing some other stuff. I want to do a live draft on the air. I think we should do that next week. We're going to talk IDP on Tuesday, and we're definitely going to talk auction next week as well. So get excited. Everybody, please have a great weekend. For Dave, Jamie, and Heath, thank you so much for listening. I'm Adam. Podcast League. Bye.
Bye.